Father, we are so thankful for your love. We are so thankful for your goodness and your mercy, your forgiveness. We're so thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ and for your word, for your Holy Spirit. So, Father, we present ourselves to you tonight, a living sacrifice. Father, we thank you that the Holy Spirit dwells in us and that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So, Father, we yield to him tonight to speak your word and to hear your word. So, Father, lead us that we might be a people for your glory, the sheep of your pasture, Father. So, Father, lead us into the study of your word tonight in Jesus' name. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's open our Bibles this evening to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We have been talking for several weeks, for 4 weeks, about the importance of the Word of God, laying a foundation that God works through His Word. He never works contrary to His Word. He always works with those who are in agreement with His Word. So we spent 4 weeks stressing the importance of the Word. Now tonight we want to, from the Bible, answer the question, where does sickness come from? Now you wouldn't think you'd have to answer that question. So where does sickness originate? Does it have a purpose? So let me mention those three statements again. Where does sickness come from? Where does it originate? Does it have a purpose? So Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. Before we answer that, let's lay a little foundation. Matthew 5, 43, Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." Now that's not been said by God. Amen? That was said by the religious leaders of his day. Jesus said, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." Now, certainly, hate your enemy is easier than loving your enemy. Amen? That's not easy. You know, God's not wanting us to take the easy way out. So, we're not interested in what we've heard. We're interested in what the Bible says. Amen? Now, we've all heard things, just like in that day, things that are not from the Bible. Remember Acts 17:10? We looked at this scripture last week. Paul and Silas had been run out of town for preaching the gospel, the truth. And they went away by night to a town called Berea. And the Bible says, when they arrived there, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now the King James for Acts 17 verse 11 says, "These were more noble," the people of Berea, "these were more noble than those in Thessalonica." Why was that? It says, "In that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind." That means they were eager, they were zealous, "and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so." You know, they didn't have a Bible they could carry around like we do. So they had to go home and search the scriptures to see if what Paul and Silas had told them was correct. Search means they examined it, then they judged it. That's where the word judgment. They judged whether what they had heard from Paul and Silas agreed with the Bible, or if what the Pharisees said agreed with the Bible. And the King James says they were of more noble character. The New King James says they were more fair-minded. The Living Bible says they were more open-minded. The International Standard says they were more receptive. Now, I like this one. It's not biblically right, but it says, the simple English says they were better people. That's a pretty good interpretation, although it's not accurate. That's not what the Greek says. The Greek word means they were of a more noble character. They were a noble family. Well, you know, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "But You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. So therefore, we ought to be like the Bereans. Amen? We're of a noble family, the family of God. Amen? So we don't care what we've heard was the will of God. We care what the Bible says. Amen? And it's amazing how many people don't care what the Bible says. I was witnessing door to door one night, and these people were of a particular denomination or a particular group, and I said, well, do you want to know what the Bible says? And they said, no! Amen. No, don't confuse us. Well, they were not of a very noble character. So we don't care what we've heard is the will of God. We want to look in the Scriptures and find out the will of God and the origin of sickness. Along those same lines, it says in Matthew chapter 15, verse 1. Matthew 15, 1. Then came to Jesus the scribes and the Pharisees. You know, Jesus never went to them. They always came to him. They never came to hear and to be healed like other people. They came to hear and dispute. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying. You know, if they were from Jerusalem, see, that makes you important. Amen? They were from Jerusalem. They weren't from, you know, some rinky-dink village. These people, they had status. They said to him, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? Notice they didn't mention the Bible. And they had done this terrible thing, for they wash not their hands before they eat bread. I mean, that's putting that in today's language, speaking about healing, we could say, how dare you say that God heals people today? That's not our tradition. That's not what we've heard. Or how dare you say something they don't teach at thus and such seminary, Jerusalem? Or how dare you say something that Dr. Tom, Dick, and Harry don't agree with? I've got a friend that always says, you know, people would introduce him as a guest speaker. And that would, he was very theologically correct. In fact, he's written a couple of pretty thick books. And he would never let anything slide. And he would say, you know, guest speaker is not a New Testament office. I'm not a guest speaker. Well, doctor is not a New Testament office either. But a lot of people put that in front of what God calls people. So they said, why do you transgress? Why do you overstep? Why do you neglect? Why do you violate the traditions of the elders? And Jesus said, why do you transgress the commandment of God by your traditions? And then he gave them a specific example. He said, the word of God says, for God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother. And he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me has been dedicated to the temple. You say he's released from honoring his father and mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. And Jesus didn't mince words. He said, hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You know, it's a hypocrite to say something that they know is wrong, to say something that's their tradition and say it's the Word of God. And then Jesus called the multitudes and said, hear and understand. That's pretty good today. Hear and understand. So one of the definitions of a hypocrite is someone who puts his ideas and his traditions in place of God's Word. So that's what we're concerned with, is God's Word. Deuteronomy chapter 4, a lot of people quote, you know, from the end of the book of Revelations, a scripture, but this is even a better scripture. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2, you shall not add to the word which I commanded you, nor take anything from it. Amen? You shall not add to the word, nor take anything from it. Well, that leaves us with just the word then, doesn't it? Amen? Jesus said to his disciples, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So it's not the truth that somebody else knows that will make you free. It's the truth that you know that'll make you free. Amen? The truth is, Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, but it doesn't help people till they know it. And that's the word with any truth.